In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Today we move into a different part of the Pentecostarian. If you'll recall, the last two Sundays, we've had really echoes of the resurrection, first on Thomas Sunday, then on the myrrh-bearing women. Well, today it changes a little bit. In fact, this day and the next two after it are reflective of a certain season that was happening at the time. The healing of the paralytic, the woman at the well, Saint Fontenay, and also the healing of the blind man are all part of the season of Pentecost as it happened then, because these events all occurred during that 50-day period that the Jews were celebrating. Now, Jesus, of course, many times would go to Jerusalem for a feast. You see that often in the gospel. He came down for the feast. Why did he do that? Well, because he knew that there were going to be a lot of people there, a lot of people that he could reach, that he could communicate his message with. And as it happens on this particular day at the pool, it's called Solomon's Porch or Solomon's Portico, five porches over a very large watery area where an angel was said to dip his finger in the water. And if that happened, the first one to get into the water would be healed. Well, there happened to be a man there who was really miserable. In fact, 38 years he was paralyzed. Think of that, 38 years, and yet he was still there, hopeful every time. How many of us could wait, 2 weeks for something like that? We would be really upset. And yet 38 years goes by and he's still there. And the Lord comes in and he sees this man and he says, well, what's going on? What do you want me to do? And the man says, well, he starts giving the exclamation. Sir, he says, not Lord. He doesn't know who Jesus is. Sir, when the angel stirs the water, I have no man to move me in there because I can't do it. He's giving the explanation. And then Jesus, without the man really asking him to do anything, says, rise, take up your pallet, and walk. Go on. This was, of course, on a Sabbath, which we know that the Lord intentionally did many times in order to confound the Pharisees, who are always hanging around to go after him, as they were today as well. And so this unbelievable occurrence of a man who's been just knotted up for 38 years, and everybody knows it because they've seen him there for years, gets up, takes his pallet, and walks away immediately. No hesitancy at all. And you would think that everyone would be so blown away by this. They would just think, this is incredible. But what do the Pharisees focus in on? The fact that he picked up his pallet. That was the thing. Wait a minute. It's the Sabbath. You can't do that today. What are you doing? Who is this that told you to take your pallet and walk? Well, the man ended up in the temple, which is a good thing because it shows that he was devout. Excuse me. That he was someone who cared about his faith. And the people come and they're seeking Jesus out. But yet his focus is on the man who is paralyzed. And he says something interesting to them because he says things like this throughout the gospel, but this was a little different because oftentimes he says, go and sin no more. I can think of at least three times. Now he says, go and sin no more lest something worse happen to you, which indicates that it was something in this man's past that caused him to be in that condition. And so we might think, well, why is this? Why is this? Is sin always the cause of physical illness? St. John Chrysostom says no. St. Maximus the Confessor says no. However, they do say that a lot of the times it is. Because sin, being the original contagion, the origin of all the world's troubles, because without that, everything would have been smooth sailing. But because of sin, corruption came into the world. With corruption comes death. And the consequent things that follow after that with illness all the time. These sorts of things. And so the Lord was telling him that in this case, yes, it was something that you did. But he didn't go into any specifics after that. Go and sin no more. But I think even aside from the miracle here in this healing of the paralytic, the thing that sticks out to me about this gospel is not so much the healing, because we've seen these in the gospel, incredible things, many, many times. But what sticks out to me is the patience of this man. And I think that zeroes in on the problems that probably most of us have. I know that I struggle with it. How many of us during the week, when we don't get a phone call back from, somebody in business or something we were expecting to get it from, and we get impatient? What's going on? I mean, I called him 2 seconds ago. Why hasn't he responded? We get irritated. It all stems towards pride. Lack of patience always goes towards pride, because it's something that's bothering us that we feel we shouldn't be disturbed by, as if we're somebody so exalted and elevated that our immediate gratification is the most important thing in the entire world. But it's not. It's not. The patience is much more important, because by that patience, as it says, with patience you save your souls, by that particular patience we learn to trust in God slowly but surely. And in the beginning it might be something very disturbing to us, even little things that are just driving us crazy, because we are tired of waiting. We're tired of waiting. Why are we tired of waiting? Because we believe that we deserve again to have our issues resolved immediately. And so we lack patience. But the scriptures are full of indications about patience. With patience have I waited patiently for the Lord, say the Psalms. That's what we're supposed to do. If God gave us instant gratification for everything that we ever wanted, we'd start to think of him as some, magician in the sky, some sort of a Merlin, or, some kind of genie. Yeah, I want it. Bam, you got it. There it is. No, but the Lord holds off. Sometimes he holds off a long time. Sometimes he holds off for days, months, weeks, even years. In this case, 38 years that this man had to wait. But because of his patience, it was all rewarded, which is a wonderful and great thing. Because the fathers tell us about patience, how important it is that we learn to wait on God, that we learn to really not expect anything. Whenever we ask, we are there open to whatever comes to us. That's why we say glory to God for all things, because we're simply waiting for whatever it is that he's going to send us. And the problem comes in our lack of trust in him, because we're afraid that what he's going to send us is something we don't want. That's the big problem. People say, I have faith. And you probably do. But my follow-up question is, do you have trust? Because that's something completely different. You can have faith, you can believe, you can know all of these things, but do you trust God no matter what he's going to send you? Often that's the difficult thing that we have to answer. But that is what we see in the paralytic today. We will see this in the next few weeks as well, when we talk about Saint Fontenie. And when she gives this magnificent theological argument to the Lord at the well, dares to engage him, and yet he doesn't chastise her for it. He engages her back. Or the blind man who waited all his life to see, and the Lord creates eyes for this man in the same way that he reached down into the dust and created Adam. He does the same thing for the blind man. So these next 3 Sundays, very important ones in the life of the church, in the life of the Pentecostarian that we are in now, because it teaches us, after having the explosive joy of the resurrection, which we know is so completely wonderful, and then going with the myrrh-bearing women and being with Thomas as the Lord appears among them suddenly, now we are taught to take this joy which we have experienced so recently and put it into practice, to learn now to wait, as the apostles had to wait after the crucifixion, as the myrrh-bearing women had to wait until it was dark and the road would be clear. This is what we are called to do during this time, to cultivate this patience, to cultivate not just the faith that we all have, but the trust in the Lord, that no matter what comes next, it's going to be ultimately for our good, even though we don't understand any of it. But as Christians, that's what we are all about. As Orthodox Christians, we are definitely about this. So may the Lord grant us this ability to wait for Him, to be patient for Him, to learn to trust Him, so that we can, every Sunday, as it's a copy of the resurrection all through the year, be able to say, Christ is risen.